Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty podcast. This is Snap Reactions for the running back position. This is post week four. And I wanted to dive in just 30,000 foot view for a second here. And this could go for all positions. So it's I think it's worth doing here. And just do design pass rate. So the highest design pass rate to the lowest. So I'm not going to do all of them, but I'll do like the top 10 and then bottom 10. So and then everyone else not mentioned would be in the middle. So Philly's first at 76.8%. Pittsburgh is second at 74.6%. Tampa, 73.6%. That is third. Miami, 73.1%. The Giants, 71.6%. The Patriots, 70.7%. Detroit, 69.5%. The Chargers are eighth at 68.5. Washington is ninth at 68.1. And Jacksonville is 10th at 67%. And then you sort of go down to the end. And then, you know, so you look at some of the running backs in there. You know, Miles Sanders struggling a bit. Najee Harris is getting a lot of passing game volume, so that works. It's a cluster in Tampa, which we can talk about. I think the answer is getting consistently clearer. That is Leonard Fournette. Miami, again, a little bit of a cluster. The Giants, you get some passing game work out of Saquon Barkley. New England, Damian Harris has been a disappointment. I don't know if there's anyone startable there. Swift and Jamal Williams, both good for Detroit thus far. The Chargers, again, Eckler, Washington, you get Antonio Gibson. And then you have with Jacksonville, you've got James Robinson. So those guys getting the lesser percentage of volume there, all told. All right, most running-centric offenses. So design pass rates. This is design pass rate. So 48.4% for New Orleans. That is 32nd by a substantial and significant margin. They are the least passing-centric offense in the NFL. Next is at 31st is Cleveland at 53.8%, 54.1% for Cincinnati, 57% for Houston, 57.5% for Dallas. They are 28th. Chicago, 27th, is at 58%. Carolina, 26th, they're at 59.3%. Arizona is at 25th. They are 59.5%. Tennessee is at 59.6%. Green Bay actually is 23rd. They're 60% even. And the Rams are 22nd and they are 60.3% design pass rate. So some interesting stuff there. I think that the Rams one's fascinating just because I think the overall volume isn't quite as high as you would expect. But some interesting sort of details there. You know, you look at just the Saints is fascinating. They really are trying to guard against Jameis, it seems. And Cleveland, again, how big of the ceiling is Baker? Sort of look at those. But again, some fertile territory there for Kamara. Big time workload this week, not a lot in the passing game thus far. That's an interesting conundrum for him. You get a lot of production out of Cleveland backfield, Cincinnati with Mixon. We'll see what happens there. Houston's kind of a wasteland. They're running for different reasons, probably. Then they just don't trust their quarterback, not because they actually have a good running attack. Dallas, again, Zeke is getting his fair share of work there. Chicago is going to be one to watch in terms of Damian Williams potentially starting for David Montgomery because of injury. Carolina, again, without McCaffrey, so you're getting a couple of the high usage backfields there in terms of rushing you're getting for spot starts here coming forward. James Conner, Chase Edmonds, a little bit of a split there. Derrick Henry, obviously in Tennessee. And then you did see a little bit of work here out of A.J. Dillon this past week for Green Bay. So those I just thought are some of the overall volumes at the position. And then you look at some of the reception stuff. I think this is interesting in terms of who is basically relying on their receiving, their running backs in the receiving game in terms of pass routes. So the most percent of the highest pass routes per drop back, the Saints are coincidentally number one, which is interesting given the fact that they are lowest in terms of actually passing the ball. They actually feature their running backs just short of one route per drop back. Dallas is at two. Atlanta is at three. And that is notable given the fact that Cordarrelle Patterson is listed as a running back via PFF's data. Arizona, four. Washington, five. Houston, six. The Chiefs are seven. Detroit, eight. Tampa, nine. Again, despite a low running or a low run percentage, low design run, a fairly hefty amount of routes for the running backs. And they've actually done about on par in terms of yards per drop back compared to their routes. So they're 11th in yards per drop back and 9th in routes. So that's pretty close there in terms of their production. 10th is Indy. And they're, again, pretty consistent. I would say the big differences between the actual amount they're put in the offense versus production on the most used perspective. So the Saints, first in routes, 23rd in yards per drop back. So that's a big difference. Dallas, second in routes, 21st in yards per drop back. So that one's a little tough. Houston, sixth in routes, 22nd in terms of yards per drop back. Kansas City, the other major outlier here, seventh in routes, 27th in routes and yards per drop back. When you look at the other side here, basically who is overperforming, I think it's, or who is performing at the lower end, some not surprising teams. So Baltimore is 32nd in terms of all running back stats, 31st for San Francisco in all running back receiving stats. Miami is 30th in terms of routes, 29th in terms of yards per drop back. Interestingly, the Patriots, 29th in routes, 6th in yards per drop back. So maybe a little bit of Brandon Bolden effect here. Be interesting to sort of, when we dive into him a little bit, I was curious about some of the stuff that we found there from him. Then you have the Rams are down there, 28th in terms of routes. The Jets, 27th. Cleveland is 26th. They're 13th in terms of yards per drop back, so that's notable. Buffalo, 25th in terms of yards per drop back, and they're 30th in terms of yards per drop back. So 25th in terms of routes per drop back, 30th in terms of yards per drop back. Minnesota's one that I was really interested to see sort of what was going to happen with them. You have 24th in terms of yards, in terms of routes per drop back. That's 15th in terms of their actual yardage. So they're outproducing what they're actually put in the offense. It's a notable difference for Minnesota as they were 30th in running back routes last year. So up to 24th. I think that's a difference in offensive coordinator is certainly a potential reason for that. Seattle is 23rd in routes and they're 14th in yards per drop back. Tennessee is 21st and they are 5th in yards per drop back. So an offense not particularly effective typically has been particularly effective in the passing game of late out of the backfield. So I think that's a notable difference development there for Tennessee. So I'm not going to go into all of the details of I'm going to do snap reactions, or I'm going to do running back rundown as well. We'll do the HHG stuff this week. I'll release that by Wednesday of this week. But I think the some of the notable stuff here is Tyson Williams was actually an active and healthy scratch, and I didn't even see it. So I don't think I had him in any lineups, but I didn't even see that until after the fact. I just was out doing family stuff and didn't even realize that was on the radar. So that one slipped through for sure. I didn't see that, and I didn't even see any media after looking after the fact that he was going to be inactive. So that's notable there. I think we have a changing of the guard to Latavius Murray. Notably on Latavius Murray, I was surprised by this because, again, narrative stuff doesn't really hold. So last year, 4.4 yards per attempt. He had 2.5 yards after contact per attempt, so 1.9 yards before contact. 5.3% of his carries, there was a forced missed tackle. Last year was his best PFF grade of his career. Let me repeat that. His best PFF grade was last year. It's actually pretty notable in terms of, I don't think he was that highly thought of, but still playing at a pretty good level. This year so far, 3.4 yards per attempt for Latavius Murray. You think, okay, there's the downtick. Yards per contact, yards after contact per attempt, 2.6. So he's actually up. The big difference there is he's getting 1.1 yards before contact less than he was last year. Right, so you're basically, so the way to think about that is he's basically on average being met before the 1 yard line. So he's being met at the 0.8 yard line by contact is on average what you think. Last year it was almost a 2 yard line. So there's a big difference there in terms of that. He's basically, you know, worse than half of what he was before contact last year, and that's I think a lot of the blocking. There's some player skill in that too, but I think a lot of that is definitely the blocking scheme, and his PFF grade has played out pretty well too. So I think it is stuff of him going on. Not any noticeable erosion either in terms of missed tackles forced per carry. It's at 4.5%. So 38 routes, 0 targets. So again, I'm not sure that tells us a lot other than they just don't focus on the running back in the passing game. When you look at some of the scores here, I think one of the breakout players, Joe Mixon, so far is a really high PFF grade. Again, he hasn't really fully probably broken out in terms of what we would think in terms of fantasy, but is up there in terms of second at the position in terms of PFF grade. So that's something to obviously note. And he's banged up a little bit too. So we'll see how that ultimately unfolds. But he's one that I think is actually playing probably better than we give him credit for. Typically, it has been, I have found for Joe Mixon, it has been the opposite, where he's actually played worse than we have given him credit for. This is by far his best season in terms of PFF grades. This is his second best season in terms of yards after contact per attempt, for example. Again, some of the yards per attempt stuff, oh, you can use all that stuff. Like, he's well above average in terms of yards after contact per attempt. So that's, I think, a pretty good number there. And he's actually up in terms of yards before contact as well. So some good signs there. Again, his yards per route run, he's just not particularly adept at it. He's an average of 1.19 yards per route run throughout his career. He's at 0.43 this year. It's just down. So we'll see if what his injury status is and how all that ultimately unfolds. But I am interested in sort of watching this because he's been, I think, quote, better than we would have otherwise expected through 4 weeks. You know, he's better in terms of a quote skill than he has been in prior years. I just want to put a fine point on the Tyson Williams thing too. It's worth noting he is 43.3% breakaway run, which is percent of yards over 15 yards. It's second in the league behind only Myles Gaskin. So I'm not entirely sure what happened there with him being a healthy scratch. It's surprising because he doesn't deserve it on a statistical basis. Some other names up there at the top of the breakaway. Myles Gaskin, actually 44% of his runs have been for 15 yards or more. Tyson Williams second. Kareem Hunt third at 41%. Barkley 39.2%. So you could say, hey, listen, there's some, you know, he's got some of the juice back. Certainly some argument there. 39% for Devin Singletary. 38.5% for Miles Sanders. 35.5% for Damian Harris. Chase Edmonds at 34.9%. Tony Pollard 34%. And Peyton Barber, Mr. Plotter himself, he comes in at 10th at 32.2%. Notably, guys who have zero runs of 15 yards or more. Some interesting stuff here. Alvin Kamara, 0 on 78 carries. James Conner, 0 on 53 carries. Mark Ingram, 0 on 52 carries. Mike Davis, 0 on 49 carries. 44 carries for Latavius Murray, 0. Michael Carter, 37 carries. Chuba Hubbard, 32 carries. 27 carries for Cordarrelle Patterson and 24 carries for Philip Lindsay. And I'll just add one more for somewhat surprising stat. One breakaway run for Aaron Jones. 7.3%. So interesting numbers there in terms of, and it's actually measures their yardage too. I think I said it was their amount of their carries. It's the amount of their yardage that comes on those runs. So it's measuring the overall yardage of how many, basically on carries that are over 15 yards, how big of a percentage of your yards does that account for? So some of the bigger, more explosive players in the top of that, and some surprises, including Kamara down at the bottom of the position. All right, taking a look here also at the next gen stats in terms of rushing yards over expectation. Again, I like this stat because I think it tells you a little bit more, like we're looking at skill stuff and we get sort of bleeded away. If you notice, I haven't paid a ton of attention to the fantasy stats because we're trying to identify who's, quote, playing well and good. And then we can sort of look at that and get an idea of who might we potentially target and arbitrage. The best in terms of rushing yards over expectation, Tony Pollard, Tyson Williams. Again, that's somewhat surprising that he's a healthy scratch. Kareem Hunt, Chase Edmonds, Melvin Gordon, Zeke. So that's your top six there in terms of Melvin Gordon and Zeke are actually tied at five. So the reports that Zeke is washed up is a little bit premature. He's probably one that we could talk about and probably do it in the trade show this week. We'll talk about a little bit more, but I think he's one that's potentially actually a value. Peyton Barber at 1.1. Those are the guys that are over 1 yard above expectation. Eckler also there, and then Jonathan Taylor. And then it's a massive, massive, massive gap, basically from 0.9 yards over expectation down to 0.5. So that's a pretty big teardrop there afterwards. Okay, guys that are under expectation. So the worst has been Phillip Lindsay, Kenyon Drake. Mike Davis is actually third. He's basically, I don't know what the way to put this is, half as bad. So Phillip Lindsay is like negative 2.2. Mike Davis is negative 1.2. So that's the big difference there. So he's very much underperforming expectation. DeAndre Swift, negative 1.2 as well. Aaron Jones, negative 1.1. Ronald Jones is a pretty big tier after that. He's at negative, basically negative 3/4. So it's Darrell Williams, Christian McCaffrey as well. And then Latavius Murray is actually down at negative 0.7. So notable there. Chuba Hubbard is negative 6.4 yards above expectation. Najee Harris, negative 0.63. So those are some of the interesting ones, I think, is the outliers. Again, they can be a little noisy sort of this early on in the season. Those tend to be a little bit noisier. Again, one big run can really make a pretty sizable difference overall at the position. Okay, let's look at some of the receiving stuff for these guys, and let me finish with a couple more running back grades. I jumped off to the rushing yards over expectation. Let's just hit on some of the other grades here for some of the running backs. Just overall here at the position, and I think it was Pollard, Mixon, Hunt, Zeke, James Robinson's up there as well. So that's pretty notable in terms of his performance. AJ Dillon's actually sixth. That is in PFF grade of 80, 79.9 for Jamal Williams. Tony Jones, who got hurt, was actually at 79.5. So that's good. And some of these guys are smaller sample sizes. Damian Williams, 78.9. So 4.6 yards per attempt so far. So that's actually good if he's healthy and he's dealing with an injury there to like a thigh or like a quad bruise or something like that. So hopefully he's ready to go for this week. Carlos Hyde comes in at 10th. And then a big trove of guys. We'll hit the guys here down at the bottom, see if there's any noteworthy names of note. Larry Roundtree, one of the worst. That's not good. I was hopeful. Salvin Ahmed, Phillip Lindsay, again, confirming that. Samaje Perine hasn't really excelled, but it's a really small sample size, only 9 carries. Marlon Mack down there with only 15 carries. Again, he's looking to be traded. Ronald Jones down there at the bottom as well, 21 carries. Those are really the big names. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is hanging out at like the bottom. like the bottom 20 or so of the position in terms of everyone that's played. And then when you sort of look at guys who have, you know, qualify for like some of the actual rate stat stuff, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is actually third from last. So that's not great. And then DeAndre Swift's 38 out of 48 qualifiers, for example. Alexander Mattison actually grades out pretty poorly. But I believe, if memory serves, it's the couple of games around. Yeah, he's actually performed, like, not great the whole season, but it was he performed a little bit better in the actual game he started, which could be an argument for the fact that he was actually playing full-time. And actually, all of his stats across the board are better in that game. So developing a rhythm, all that stuff, you could sort of argue. And he had a really robust yards per route run in that game as well. So that's pretty much the deal there on that position. Again, then we'll look at some of the receiving stuff for just the running backs. And then we'll also take a look at some of the red zone stuff as well, just to get a look at who might be potentially upticking for positive workload. Okay, so running backs in your workload here of as receivers, amongst qualifiers, no surprise here. Christian McCaffrey, Cordarrelle Patterson, Kenneth Gainwell is actually third in terms of qualifying, so that's pretty good. DeAndre Swift fourth, Brandon Bolden fifth. So I actually think he has so far 9 receptions, 10 targets, 74 yards. I actually think he's worth adding. I'm not sure if we're going to play him, but again, they're throwing it at a high rate, and 2.4 yards per route run, you kind of like that. And actually, when you compare it to the guy that's graded just below him, 2.47 for James White. So grading very similarly in terms of all of that. I would note one of the benefits, or one of the things that people sort of say is a positive light about Brandon Bolden, is his passing grade. He's only at a 34.3% passing, or 34.3 PFF passing grade. It was James White at 70.2 before that. So notable distinction there, not quite the same player. And you wonder if you're not going to get a ton in the pass blocking game out of Brandon Bolden, if somebody else other than him warrant those targets. So I think that's something we could potentially watch for here going forward. Okay, further looking out, Derrick Henry is actually 7th in terms of grade, Pollard 8th, Eckler 9th, 10th in terms of Jeremy McNichol. So I still think he is, and he had a big game this week, I still think he is one of those guys that really qualifies as being plus value if there is an injury. Receiving grades, some of the worst here amongst the qualifiers: Devin Singletary, James Robinson, Zach Moss. So that's disappointing. Darrell Henderson is down there as well in terms of like bottom of the position. He has an okay yards per route run at 0.96. Devin Singletary is just terrible. Delvin Cook is fifth from worst. Notably, Leonard Fournette is down here in the bottom 6 or so. He is performing well, though, in the 1.24 yards per route run work there. So he's some of his struggles have been in pass blocking as well. So that sort of weights down his passing grade overall. Ty Johnson, Michael Carter, no big uptick from Antonio Gibson either. Saquon Barkley has been down there at the bottom of the position as well. Then those guys start to kind of bleed together. There's a big group there that isn't that distinguishable up above him. But yeah, so that's pretty much the rundown there at the position. And then you go ahead and look at the at some of the red zone work. And I think when we see some of this stuff, like it is worth noting with the red zone stuff that it's not the end all be all, because you can get into it being misleading is not the right word, but if you get 4 cracks from the 1 yard line and you convert the 4th one, like that can be a little bit more, it might not necessarily say, hey, like look at all this work he's getting. It's like, hey, he was kind of working, but it failed. And you know, here's the result basically that we have. Right, you could sort of flip either of those two narratives, I think, and be, and really see a difference at the position, right? You can definitely see a difference in terms of, you know, if you go 1 for 1, oh, it's low volume, but he got in. But if you go 4 for 4 runs and you get one touchdown, right? That's it isn't entirely indicative of like which one is actually better, right? So just sort of be careful on those. Again, there's not a ton of just be careful that there's a little bit more context that I guess is warranted in terms of some of this stuff. All right, so red zone rush rate in particular. So this is the rate of teams that have rushed the most in the red zone. And I do think this is valuable for the purpose of DFS too. If you're playing DFS, right, this has some value, right, in terms of who's getting down there and who is rushing and throwing. So rush rate, Cleveland first at 76.7%. They're massively ahead of any other team. So I think that's notable. They're very rush heavy, and they're very rush heavy, I think, where it matters. So that's a very capping thing for Baker Mayfield. Chicago second, Denver third, New Orleans fourth, Carolina fifth, and this is just inside the 20. Sixth for Indy, seventh for Seattle, eighth for Miami, ninth for the Raiders, and 10th for Arizona. We'll go down to the lowest teams in terms of rush rate in the red zone. Pittsburgh, Tampa, Atlanta, Philly, Kansas City, and that's a pretty Pittsburgh's like by far the worst, by far the lowest, and those other four teams are kind of grouped together, and then it goes up here. It's New England, Green Bay, San Francisco, Tennessee, which is notable considering some of their weapons, the Raiders. That's probably bad news for Darrell Henderson, but maybe good news for someone like Stafford, for example. Then you can also look here at the percentage of the runs that are actually quarterback runs in terms of the total, in terms of total runs there inside the red zone. So you're getting a really high percentage of quarterback rushes from Philly, for example, is 45%. New Orleans is 41.6%. Again, you're just painting sort of a tough scenario for how you get a big Jameis breakout, because it's very pass centric, it's run centric in the red zone, and it's run centric to the quarterback, which is Taysom Hill. So it doesn't really, any of it's really breaking that way for him. Baltimore, 33% of their red zone rushes have been quarterback rushes, 33% for Washington, same for Jacksonville, 32% for Buffalo. So when you look at those teams, like, it can be tough for those teams to get the volume to really pound in a ton of work, especially when you get teams that are in the bottom 10, like Jacksonville and Washington, in terms of actual plays down there in the red zone. So big difference there in terms of some of how those plays can get treated. One more metric I think is important to look at is the expected fantasy points, and that's over at PFF. So they have basically a proprietary formula that basically talks about, you know, who's what touches are the most valuable and those sorts of things. And so the expected points of the most, Derrick Henry, 93.2, Najee Harris, 92.3. So I think that's a really valuable one. When you look at him, he's actually 18 points under expectation according to their metrics. I just think when you look at that role, it's a pretty sizable role, really sturdy floor as well. You know, a lot of places to just look at that. He leads the league in receptions for running backs. Like, it's a huge number. So at 26, DeAndre Swift, 78 in terms of expected points. So again, a big gap there. Aaron Jones, 70.4. He's pretty solidly overperforming it. Henry and Jones are both overperforming it by 8 and 6 points respectively. Harris underperforming by 18, Swift underperforming by 9. So, again, I've seen running back 2 for DeAndre Swift. He's under expectation and under expected fantasy points as well. So, just danger, Will Robinson. Amari Cooper. Alvin Kamara, 67.7. He's 5th. Barkley, 6th. Which is, I think, notable considering a lot of the concerns with him is, hey, it's, you know, maybe the offense isn't that great. He's performing basically right on expectation, and he's 6th in expected fantasy points. Like, it's it's not an elite season, but it's kind of tough to throw stones at. Chase Edmonds was the one that really jumped out for me. He is 63.5 at a 7th, McCaffrey 8th, Jonathan Taylor 9th. Again, he's underperforming it by 10.4 points. Joe Mixon 10th, which I think is actually pretty notable considering his profile coming out. He is at he's 5.3 points below expectation. Mike Davis is actually tied for with Mixon at 10th, and he is significantly below expectation. So he's minus 17.4. Notably, him and Harris about the same under expectation. So that's an interesting distinction between how they're being treated in the market. Again, you're just coming from such a high floor from Harris compared to Davis. And again, Davis is a proportion. It's a much larger proportion he's leaving on the table. And then Zeke is actually top 12 as well. So I think that's notable when you sort of look at that. Some other ones I think are interesting. I'm not going to read every single one of them. But Fournette at 13, he's underperforming. Gibson is at 17. He's overperforming. So give you an idea, there's some cap upside situation there. Monty is at 18 and overperforming as well. So that's notable. Chubb is 21st and overperforming. Dalvin Cook, again, he had one less game and the like. So that's notable. Also, one last one. I'll cap it at this. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 30th. Overperforming by 9 points. So when you sort of look at that, again, that whole, I mean, I could do this every week, that whole idea that look how lucrative the situation is, that was bad process from the beginning, it's bad process now, it was bad process always, and he's actually overperforming expectation. So probably this is one of those situations where you give him a break. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. I hope this sort of gave you a bunch of different perspectives on how to look at maybe the position at large, and as we sort of look through these, I'm trying to find a sweet spot. If I don't want to just regurgitate the same facts every week, I mean, it seems I'm not trying to treat listeners as infantile people unable to go out and listen to read a simple spreadsheet. But I do like to point out some different things and maybe go a little bit beyond the overall ranking. So try and do a little bit different theme each week on these and give us a better rounded, a more well-rounded understanding of the positions. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.